We're going to turn to Mark. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to start in verse 16. Do you think it's okay to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ after Easter? Absolutely, right? So the holiday is done, but Christ is still risen, absolutely and fully and completely. And the resurrection of Christ is something that we want to walk in every day. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into the word and get back into worship. Jesus, we thank you so much for your sacrifice. Lord, we thank you for our time of celebration as a church this weekend. We thank you for those that made a decision to believe in you, and we pray that you'd bless them and encourage them. And we thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, your burial, and your resurrection, even post-Easter. And as we change up the format tonight, Lord, would you just meet us in a special way? And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is Mark 15, verse 16. So we're going to look at the cross in Scripture, and then Billy's going to and Jared are going to lead us in a worship song that focuses on the cross of Christ. And then we're going to look at Christ's burial, a worship song that ties into Christ's burial, and then resurrection and worship that goes along. So we're going to be able to worship alongside with the word. Verse 16, then the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. This is a garrison of Roman soldiers. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him off to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he didn't take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription on the accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right hand and the other his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He who saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth. And the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by, when they heard that, said, "Look, he's calling for Elijah." Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joses and Salmon, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Then I'd like to read this poem to you that highlights our sin and the need for Jesus to go to the cross. "Before thy cross I kneel and see the heinousness of my sin. my iniquity that caused thee to be made a curse, the evil that exists, the severity of divine wrath. Show me the enormity of my guilt by the crown of thorns, the pierced hands and feet, the bruised body, the dying cries. Thy blood is the blood of incarnate God, is worth infinite, its value beyond all thought. Infinite must be the evil and guilt that demands such a price. Sin is my malady, my monster, my foe, my viper, born in my birth, alive in my life, strong in my character, dominating my faculties, following me as a shadow, intermingling with every thought. My chain that holds me captive in the empire of my soul. Sinner that I am, why should the sun give me light? The air supply breath, the earth bear my tread. Its fruits nourish me, its creatures subverse my end. Yet thy compassions yearn over me, thy heart hastens to my rescue. Thy love endured my curse, thy mercy bore my deserving stripes. Let me walk humbly in the lowest depths of humiliation, bathed in thy blood, tender of conscience, triumphing gloriously as an heir of salvation. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul David Tripp has a quote that says this, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Well, what does that mean? Every day we are reminded that we're sinners. We're reminded that we fall short. If we're honest, we wrestle with our sin in a deep way. But hopefully we don't stop there. We look to the cross and we go, Jesus, you love me. You love me while I was a sinner. You love me while I continue to struggle with sin. And to be bathed in the blood of Jesus, to know the depths of the cross, that the cross results in our forgiveness and that victory over sin. So as we've read this, let's now move into worship as we meditate upon the cross. And Jesus, we do thank you for your sacrifice. Jesus, I'm humbled that you love me while I was a sinner, that you love me while I continue to wrestle with sin, and that you would go to the cross to pay the price for our sin. So we desire just to express thanks to you, to draw near to you, and make much of your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we enter it back into worship, if you feel led to stand or kneel or sit, just however the Lord leads you, and let's respond to what Christ has done and thank him for that work of the cross.
The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Evil may put up its strongest fight, but the cross has the final word. Oh yeah. Jesus, the cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. The Savior has come with the morning light. The cross has the final word. The cross has the final. nothing stronger and nothing higher and nothing greater than the name of Jesus. All the honor and all the power and all the glory to the name of Jesus. There's nothing stronger and nothing higher and nothing greater than the name of Jesus. And all the honor and all the power and all the glory to the name of Jesus. There's nothing stronger and nothing higher and nothing greater than the name of Jesus. All the honor and all the power and all the glory to the name of Jesus. The cross has the final word. Oh yeah. The cross has the final.
We'll now focus in on the burial of Christ. Mark 15, verse 42. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he brought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb, which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joses observed where he was laid. You know, I think this year for me, as we celebrated Easter, I thought more about the burial of Christ than I have in the past. Oftentimes I think of the crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, but in 1 Corinthians 15, it says this is the gospel, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again according to the scriptures. And the burial of Christ is also part of the gospel story and what Jesus did for us. And what it must have been like for the disciples to bury Jesus. And talk about the death of a dream. You know, the ultimate dream of, this is my Messiah, all my hope is in Christ, and Christ was murdered and executed upon the cross, and we buried him. And in life, we have buried dreams, don't we? There's things that we don't go the way that we thought that they would, and unmet expectations. And that's represented in what Christ did for us, that he was buried for us. So this devotional, bear with me, it'll take me a few minutes to read through it, but it really focuses on that three-day period and what the disciples were going through. The eternal weight of the space between Jesus' death and resurrection will only be known on the other side of this life. For the scriptural references are filled with both majesty and mystery. Though Jesus' full assignment in those days is beyond our comprehension, the disciples' disillusionment is not. As we consider their journey, let us be attentive to our own. for we too understand what it means to bury dreams. We too have thought of our dreams were God's dreams, and consequently prayed, believed, made plans, and worked hard. And then suddenly it was over, and we sat graveside by lifeless hopes as the doubting began. Did I miss something? Should I have prayed or done more? If this was not God's will, then I would know nothing about hearing the voice of God. The first followers understood. They too had a dream that was cruelly crucified before their very eyes. They were certain that their dream was God's dream, but then their hoped for Messiah was murdered. Not even a fool could hope now. The sealed tomb confirmed the truth. Jesus was dead. Today, we speed read through the darkest days of the disciples' lives because the joy of the resurrection is only a few verses away. Don't we do that? We can really speed read to the resurrection. But if we slow down, there's much to learn. What did they do after their dream died on the cross? How did they cope? Let us walk with the disciples as they mourned the death of the greatest dream they had ever known. Speechless, Jesus' followers kept watch until the very end. They held on to the flickering hope until its flame was extinguished. Then they gave themselves permission to bury their dream. Burial is a symbol of respect. When dreams shatter, we too need to give ourselves time to gently collect the broken pieces and wrap them respectfully in tears. This is not about prematurely abandoning hope. This is about accepting reality. Denying Jesus' death would not return him to the disciples. It was healthy for them to permit burial. Faith is not threatened by funerals. Isn't that powerful? Like, it takes some courage to mourn a shattered dream, to mourn the death of a dream. Jesus' followers observed his tomb and returned home to prepare spices that would preserve and honor Jesus in his death. Then they rested. Rest is essential, a need, not a luxury. If we are to remain healthy through the burial of dreams, in the words of Rabbi Abraham Joshua Herzl, labor is a craft, but perfect rest is an art. Those who have lost loved ones may need to linger in their favorite old chair. The one who suffered a miscarriage may need to give herself permission to mourn instead of rushing out to put everything away. The entrepreneur may need unhurried days to reminisce as he packs up an office after an unsuccessful business venture. Take the time, prepare the spices, preserve and honor the memorials, and rest. The Sabbath day, they had to rest before the resurrection. And they were forced to rest. I think as a culture, a lot of times when it comes to mourning, we don't slow down. I hate it, right? Like, I'll just keep busy and keep going so I don't have to feel the pain. But there is something to taking that time to mourn. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, Luke 24. The disciples didn't isolate themselves after Jesus' burial, but intentionally maintained their relationships. We too must resist isolation and enjoy good talks and take long walks with trusted friends. For even in loss, we are stronger together than alone. Like the early disciples, as we walk and talk with each other, Jesus walks and talks with us. Walking with the Savior, they eventually realized that their dream, though death, had not perished, so that their dream hadn't perished. Most of us will not see the resurrection of our dreams within 3 days. In fact, some of our dreams are sown for future generations to reap. Even then, and this really stuck out to me, obedience is never wasted. It's an investment in a future we cannot see. When we dream with God, our dreams, even in burial, are not lost. They're planted. God never forgets the kernel of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. John 12:24. John 12 talks about the seed before it can bring life has to die. That many times there's that death of a dream before it comes to life. What grows from painful planting in God's business, but sowing in faith is ours. And like the early disciples, our faithfulness is never sown in vain. Reflection. Have you ever buried any dreams lately? If so, personalize each of the steps above and make space today to remember or rest or talk with friends. As you do, picture Jesus walking with the early disciples, and then with you today, many testify that his comfort intensifies graveside. Another point of application. What's your default when there's spiritual disappointment? Think about that for a second. Like, where do you go when you find yourself disappointed, when you find yourself spiritually disappointed, where there's this death of a dream that you felt was from the Lord? Some seek to distract themselves with activity. A few drown themselves with pity. Many numb themselves with entertainment. All are forms of escapism. For the health of our souls, we must resist checking out when it looks like God just died. He is still present, and we must work to remain present too. Today, fight escapism. Instead of distracting yourself with activity, cancel appointments to make space to be still. Instead of drowning yourself with pity, address God directly and honestly about your ache. Instead of numbing yourself with entertainment, let the pain be a reminder that you still need time to heal. Today, embrace the discomfort of discouragement as a noble step in your spiritual formation. As we think about the burial of Christ, let's be honest with the Lord about maybe some of those disappointments, some of those death of a dream. And it doesn't mean in time that God may not resurrect it, but the disciples were in that place of, man, we had a dream. We thought this was gonna go one way and it didn't, and they had to surrender it at the altar. And this next song, this next worship song really speaks of coming to God's altar and taking our broken dreams and surrendering them to the Lord. So Father, we thank you that you love us, that you're with us, that you're our Father of mercy and the God of comfort. We do understand a little bit, not fully, what the disciples were going through, where Jesus, when you died and they buried you, it was the death of a dream. We have disappointments in our lives, things that have not worked out the way that we thought that they would. And Jesus, we give those to you right now. We want to surrender those to your hands, to your altar.
Nothing I wouldn't offer. There's no way. I just feel like the Lord reminded me. I think a lot of times we think that surrender is weakness. And that surrender is where we find our victory, amen? And laying these things before Jesus, before the one who can make sense of it all, who can bring glory to the brokenness, who can bring the peace that surpasses understanding for the situations that just don't make sense. I know it's easy to sing these songs. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's hard. But sometimes it's easy to sing these songs and not let the gravity of what we're saying really settle on our hearts. So I just want to take a second and let's really and put into practice what we're hearing, what we're reading, what God's word says, what we're singing. That we're going to lay our brokenness at the altar. Because he can use anything. but it takes letting go. It takes surrendering control. I don't know about you guys, but that's really hard for me. I just want to be in control. And it's easy to think that I can do it better than the Lord. But that's the faith piece, is trusting in who He says He is. Putting our faith in the One who never fails. So we're just going to wait upon the Lord for a moment. Really begin to give Him these things tonight. As cheesy as it is, let go and let God, right? We've heard that 100,000 times, I'm sure. Man, but there's power in surrender. There's victory in surrender. There's peace in surrender. There's hope in surrender tonight. So whatever that looks like for you, and just begin to give to the Lord just for a moment. Just give it all to the Lord.
Amen, amen. We serve the God of the resurrection who brings life where there's death. Do we believe that? You know, that He can bring life where there's death in relationships. He can bring life where there's death to sin. Where he can bring life to those broken dreams as He sees fit. Maybe not how we envisioned it, but according to His will and His purpose. So we're going to read of the resurrection, and then we're going to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in communion. Mark 16, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they may come and anoint Him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, and they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Do you guys think they had coffee? Do you think they, like... Did they have their Yeti cup, their to-go cup? I think they did. Billy, you think they had coffee? No coffee. Okay. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white garment robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid Him. But go tell His disciples and Peter." Why the emphasis on Peter? Because Peter had denied the Lord. he needed to encounter his resurrected Savior. He needed to be restored. So go tell the disciples and Peter. And he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. But when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had seen and been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief, their hardness of heart, because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Amen. So what does the resurrection of Christ mean for us? It means absolutely everything. If Christ remained on the cross, remained buried, we're dead in our sins. But since Christ is alive, we're alive. All of our sins were nailed to the cross, buried with Christ, and we're risen in newness of life. I love baptism. There's a couple young men after the 11 o'clock service, brothers, 18 and 20. They're like, "When can we get baptized? We want to get baptized." I'm like, "Well, the next baptism's at the end of June." And you could just see on their face that wasn't going to do. So we're going to set up the baptismal forum and a classroom and baptize them Sunday after service. But I love baptisms because, yeah, praise the Lord. It's that outward declaration of what God's already done in our life. All of our sin is buried with Christ, and we're risen in newness of life. The penalty of sin's been paid, but also the power of sin has been broken in our lives. Before we were Christians, we couldn't have victory over sin. But as new creations, we can have victory over sin. We don't have to be slaves to sin any longer. We're not slaves to sin any longer. Romans chapter 6 tells us. We have this very confident future in front of us because of the resurrection of Christ. Jesus is going to return. He's going to be faithful to his word. He was faithful to rise from the dead. He's going to be faithful to come back again. The disciples weren't anticipating his resurrection. Are we anticipating the second coming of Jesus Christ? A couple of things that we see in Mark 16 with the resurrection, when they encountered the resurrection of Jesus, they trembled in amazement. And I think that that should be our response as well when we think of the resurrection of Jesus, like, "Wow, Jesus, you are my champion. Like, you just did this. You conquered sin and the grave. You are risen forevermore." And there's this absolute amazement of the resurrection of Christ. But also, there is a real desire to go and tell. And there's also a command to go and tell. We tend to share things that we're excited about. Yeah, I enjoy food. That's no surprise to anyone. If I have some food that I really enjoy, I'm probably going to tell you about it. Like, "Hey, have you tried this out? You need to try this. This is really good," right? Or you see a movie that inspired you. Very rare, but occasionally there's a movie that come out that might inspire you. You're probably going to share it. And it's just that genuine excitement about Jesus of, "Wow, Jesus died for my sins. He died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again." And then Jesus tells us, "Go preach the gospel. Go make disciples. Go declare this good news that Jesus is the answer." And there's so many that are hungry and thirsty for what Christ has done for them. And so may God give us that boldness. He's with us. The resurrected Savior is with us. God doesn't use perfect people. He doesn't use skilled people. He doesn't use equipped people. You know who he uses is available people. People that are willing to take a step of faith. It's really not about how we share or what we bring to the table. It's God wants to do a work in that person's life, and he wants us to be a part of it. So we get to love them in Jesus' name. We get to proclaim the gospel to them. So we're going to move into now the celebration of the resurrection. And again, this is going to be a little bit different, but we're actually going to come and take the communion elements. So if you would come and grab of the cup and the bread, and then go back to your seat and wait, then we're going to take communion together, and we're going to celebrate together. So this is a hybrid, all right? So usually it's like you come to the table, and it's self-serve, for lack of better words. And if we pass, then we're going to take it corporately. Well, you're going to come get the elements, and then once I kind of see that everybody has the elements, then I'm going to lead us in communion and celebration as the family of God together, and then we'll partake together. Does that make sense? So let's stand, come get the elements, and then in just a moment, we'll take communion together.
sing all praise.
And all praise to the Lord Most High. And all praise to the one who saved my life. All praise to Jesus Christ, High King of Heaven, my King forever.
All right, we're going to press in together. So if you guys would stand up, and then if everybody would just make their way to the front, and we'll just come into the front, into the aisles. We're going to get close to each other as the body of Christ, and then we're going to partake in communion together. So come down here in the front and just join us as we take communion. All right. Isn't it cool to be part of the body of Christ?
Oh, yeah.
When we think of the resurrection and Christ being risen, he's the first fruits of the resurrection. We too are going to rise unto eternal life. You're going to spend all of eternity together as brothers and sisters in Christ, you know? I wonder if we'll get to heaven and be like, hey, you're part of Rocky Mountain Calvary, you know? It's like, but what's going to be so cool is it's going to be so much bigger than RMC, right? We're going to be gathered with all of the believers for all time. And I know that all of us carry hurts and pains and sin and disappointment, but we need to hear this, that Jesus is the God of the resurrection. Amen. And he's brought life where there's death, and there is hope in Jesus Christ. And so we do take communion in celebration. We look forward to his coming. We proclaim his death till he comes. So let's pray together. Jesus, as we hold this cracker in our hands, we know it represents your sacrifice, the weight of what you went through on the cross. We're not going to know this side of eternity, but we say thank you that you took our sin upon the cross. Lord, just our sin collectively in this room tonight is so overwhelming. My sin, but you took it all. Not just for us, but the whole world. And you became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness. You were buried. Our sin was buried with you. But yet you rose again. So we hold on to your blood and your sacrifice. You tell us that the cup represents the blood of your covenant, your contract with us, that you made it in blood. It is finished. It's done. You're the lifter of our heads. And we do look forward to when you're going to come back, when you're going to rule and reign, when someday this body, this earthly body, is going to be glorified and forever with you. One of the awesome things about communion is you can't take communion without your head being lifted, and Jesus is the lifter of our head. So let's take of the bread together. And let's take of the cup. Billy and Jared are just going to lead us out in another song, and we're going to end out in worship here.
Praise the name.
shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Come one more time, we just sing our praise the name. We rejoice, we sing.
We'll praise the name.
Amen. Well, hey, what a pleasure and a joy it really is to worship. Amen. Man, what a foretaste of heaven. Just praising the Lord for all he's done, for what he's doing, for what he's yet to do. Man, let's just sing it one more time, right? Let's just voices. I'll get us there. Here we go.
And oh, praise the name.
Well, hey, hope you guys have a great week. Thanks again so much for being here. Isn't it great to just be a part of the family of God, huh? Man, we'll see you back here this weekend.